Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to join you. I'm so excited to end the week with another exciting episode as we head into NBA draft season, now less than 2 weeks away. Obviously, as we discussed earlier this week, we now have more certainty about the start of the NBA season, and that means that things are going to be a lot more accelerated. They're going to be a lot more condensed, but a lot more exciting as well. And obviously, the sport that we all love and the team that we all love will be back sooner than we thought. And that's definitely an exciting development. We're going to continue to focus on the draft in today's show. However, we're not going to focus on one particular prospect. I've named plenty of them over the past few weeks. What we're instead going to do is we're going to focus on, based off some talents that the Grizzlies have focused on adding to the roster over the past 18 months through this new front office, what are some traits of current Grizzlies that could offer hints to some targets for the 2020 NBA draft with the Grizzlies' 40th pick. And I identified that through a piece that I wrote over at Grizzly Bear Blues recently. I identified it based off the statistical traits of shooting efficiency, adding value outside of scoring, and defensive playmaking. And we're going to spend a segment each talking about those. In the first segment, we'll discuss scoring efficiency. The second one, we'll discuss adding value outside of scoring, especially on offense. And then the third, defensive playmaking, looking at how current Grizzlies match those criteria and who are some players who offer similar type of production that really could intrigue the Grizzlies with that 40th pick. Of course, this just continues the trend of topics that we've been discussing throughout the past month or so about the NBA draft. If you want to go back through our catalog of episodes, you'll find plenty of breakdowns and some exciting prospects. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, and you can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your iPhone. And I highly encourage it. We're going to have some guests here in the near future regarding the NBA draft. I've already spoken with a bright mind when it comes to the NBA draft, Ben Pfeiffer. And that's the thing. That's the reason why I highly encourage you to go back through our catalog of episodes and obviously continue listening. I've been covering the Grizzlies for a little over 2 years. I do it with passion. I do it with plenty of perspectives. I do it with enjoyment because I cherish every time that I get the chance to talk about the Grizzlies and interact with those who I share passions with. So it's a joy anytime that I get to provide one of these episodes for you. It's something that I find fun and certainly am glad you have taken time out of your day to join me. So let's really get into the subject at hand. As I had mentioned earlier this week, what about current Grizzlies stands out as potentially identifying 2020 NBA draft prospects? Well, let's first discuss those current Grizzlies who I used as references. Some names that really stand out are Brandon Clark, John Concher, and De'Anthony Melton. Now, the reason why they stand out is because those players were added through the 2019 NBA draft or through undrafted free agency or in trades, as Melton was. But there are other things. You know, as we know, Zach Kleiman was with the Grizzlies before he became the general manager. And other players, especially second-round talents that have been added, also could fit some of these molds. For instance, Dylan Brooks and Javon Carter, though Carter wasn't long for the Grizzlies. But the thing about it is that the Grizzlies have certainly found that they have a certain type of preference when it comes to players. And it mainly focuses on players who can add value in a variety of ways. There's no doubt about that. The Grizzlies love to have players who are both of high quality and high quantity when it comes to their production. When I mean quality, I mean guys with good attitudes who love to be a part of a culture. Also guys who love to work hard, want to improve, and really want to buy into a team concept on the court. They want high energy, highly efficient guys who offer two-way potential and energy on both ends of the court and can contribute in a variety of ways and really want to grow their game to be able to do that. That's what stands out about players such as Clark, such as Concher, such as Melton. Others that they have been on the Grizzlies roster as well, even to the point of Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, obviously, you're not going to find a talent like that with the 40th pick, but those guys do generally fit the mold that we're discussing. But over at Grizzly Bear Blues, when I wrote the article about, you know, some true statistical setups of current Grizzlies that really match what the Grizzlies are looking for, you know, potentially with their 40th pick in the 2020 draft, the first thing that really stands out is shot efficiency. And why is that so important? Because it allows for, the more that you have that on the roster, the easier it is for you to remain offensively consistent offensively. And that's a big thing that stood out about the Grizzlies. When their starters were off the court, the Grizzlies, with Tyus Jones, Brandon Clark, and others, they were able to remain highly efficient in terms of their offense, and that allowed for their bench to become one of the best offensive reserve units in the league, and overall, one of the best support groups in the league. That's a big development for a team like the Grizzlies, who are trying to grow into being a sustainable winner. So adding another piece that could help contribute to that is a big development. And that's something that really stands out about, you know, the Grizzlies, especially when it comes to John Concher and Brandon Clark. You know, over the past 30 years, when it comes to Clark and Concher, they are two of 49 players who during their college career had shot 60% from the field, both in terms of true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage. That means that both are highly intelligent and very good decision makers at not only finding their shot, but converting it on a consistent basis. The reason why that's a big deal for a team like the Grizzlies is because though they don't have a lot of natural shooting talent, if they have good decision makers up and down the roster who can take high percentage shots, that allows for their offense to remain consistent and obviously allows for them to, you know, put themselves in the best position to beat the teams that they should and have a good chance to upset teams that they shouldn't. But some names that stand out as far as this draft class that compare to that type of efficiency, not to that level. There was not anybody who really compared to the level of Concher and Clark, who both were historically efficient in college, and obviously that translated to Clark being historically efficient in the NBA. But a few players that stood out were Killian Tilly and Udoka Azubuike. Those names are names that have been known in draft circles for a while. Those names are names that you have heard on this Locked On Grizzlies podcast, especially Tilly, as of late. But they stand out due to their shooting efficiency, but they stand out in different ways. With Azubuike, he stands out as being an absolute efficiency monster at the basket. He is one of the most productive rim talents that have been around in quite a while in terms of his ability to block shots at the rim and his ability to convert field goal opportunities at the rim as well. Of course, that's where Azubuike's game is centered. He's very limited outside of that, so his overall potential as an NBA player is probably limited to being a reserve big. He certainly has value, and obviously if he can find his shot consistently and with his, you know, with as big as he is and as physical as he is, he's going to get his shot. That is certainly encouraging and certainly makes him an NBA prospect. However, it's not to the level of intrigue that Killian Tilly offers. Now, of course, as I mentioned when I broke down Killian Tilly last week, the big thing that stands out about Tilly, unfortunately, is his injuries. However, the upside that he offers as you know, a historically good shooter for a big man in college, obviously you have the familiarity with him coming from Gonzaga, like Brandon Clark did, and you have the skill sets that match Taylor Jenkins' preferences. A shooting big who also can add value defensively due to intelligent footwork, overall intelligence, and just the ability to know he has the nuance as a shooter to really find his shot and be a reliable catch-and-shoot option. I really think that Tilly, I'll address this in a later show right before the draft, but I'm becoming convinced Tilly may be the one player at 40 who, if we don't make moves either way, he to me could be at the top of my draft board with just how many boxes he checks. And not only when you look at his ability to shoot from distance, but also the intelligence of the shots that he takes, that just creates an extremely high floor that, if he can stay healthy, means Tilly could be one of the biggest steals in the draft. So from a shooting efficiency standpoint, which the Grizzlies highly seem to value, Tilly really stands out as someone that can make sense as a target. If you expand out the criteria a bit, you know, in terms of looking, you know, other players who showed advanced ability with their shot to really do well when it comes to making their shots consistently and making good shot decisions, other names such as Sam Merrill, Desmond Bane, and Xavier Tillman also stand out. To an extent, Grant Riller as well, as we discuss, for players who shot as much as Riller did in college. For a guard, he had the highest 2-point field goal percentage of guards who had shot more than 1,600 field goals in their college career, which really stands out. That's incredible efficiency for the volume of shots that Riller had, so he also stands out. But Merrill, Bain, and Tillman are also names that we have discussed. Tillman is. With Bain, he probably won't be there, and Merrill will be a prospect that we talk about in a future episode. But those are names also that showed very good shooting efficiency and could make sense for the Grizzlies, and we'll find out that a few of these names stay consistent as we break down other things that the Grizzlies might look for. So overall, shooting efficiency is highly, highly important to Memphis. There are some intriguing prospects that check that box and other boxes that the Grizzlies really could focus on, but I really think in terms of this perspective, Tilly just stands out as a really, really intriguing prospect that meets Coach Taylor Chinkin's preferences, meets Zach Kleiman's profile, the type of player that they want to add, and is certainly a player that has plenty of potential to grow with our young core and add plenty of value going forward. Another thing that I can tell you will add plenty of value is to your day, and that's through Built Go. Built Go is the best workout gel that's on the market. It's an easy to access, easy to use 1.5-ounce package of gel that can do a lot of good for your day. If you ever feel like you run into that wall that's just hard to overcome, Built Go is the type of thing that help you, that can help you get past it, climb over it, or maybe just even run through it. It's a great opportunity for you to be able to add a healthy option and an energizing option to your day, whether it's working out, whether it's perhaps just getting through the workday. Like for me, once I get past lunch, I get tired. Using this really helps me out. And the other thing about Built Go is that it comes in a variety of different flavors that you also will love, because it allows for you to be able to not have to worry about, okay, I'm adding a health, you know, option to my day. You know, it's not going to taste good. Well, with Built Go, you've got peanut butter honey, you've got chocolate coconut, and you've got chocolate mint. It combines energy with collagen protein. It's loaded with good stuff that can help you work, and it also keeps you going. There's no real letdown with Built Go. Adding it to your day will help you get the energy that you need to make it through today and be as highly productive as you can. If you go to BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, if you go to BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Coming up next week here at Locked On Grizzlies, we're going to have plenty of exciting content for you. Obviously, as news continues to break, as the start of the season gets closer to us, we'll certainly break all that down. And we'll also have a few interviews as well as continue a few draft prospects and really look at the draft as a whole. I know that we like to focus on the Grizzlies here, but I also know Memphis fans love to keep up with the draft and love to, you know, really break, get into understanding the different players that could potentially be drafted, especially with two Memphis players, James Wiseman and Precious Achiuwa, you know, being potentially drafted in the lottery or right around the top 15 in the draft. There's plenty of excitement there in the 2020 draft for Memphis fans. But getting back to the Grizzlies, you know, the focus for Memphis besides scoring efficiency is really looking to add value outside of scoring. And the reason why that's important is because for a team like Memphis, who in the luck that they have had in getting Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., you really want to surround them with talents that complement their skill sets. And with Jaren Jackson, that's the ability to pass, that's the ability to rebound, to amplify his three-point shooting ability, as well as support the fact that he's not that big of a rebounder, at least as of yet. That's not really a knock on Jaren Jackson Jr. It's just not a big part of his game. So finding ways to complement him is huge. With Ja Morant, surrounding him with catch-and-shoot three-point shooters, surrounding him with players who could pass with him off the ball, and players that can help move the ball around and be good decision-makers. Those are the type of options that really stand out in Memphis as well. And that's why when it comes to Brandon Clark and John Concher, again, something that stood out for them when it came to the Grizzlies was their across-the-board production. Yes, their scoring efficiency was excellent, but neither of them really was just a high-volume scorer. They found other ways to make a difference with their games than just being able to score consistently. For instance, when it came to Brandon Clark, he's one of only 9 front-court talents who have produced 750 or more rebounds and 180 or more assists in less than 100 collegiate games since 1992. Why is that so important? Because it allows for him to be able to add value as a rebounder. You know, you expect for your big men to rebound, but those players who can also be secondary playmakers, and for the Grizzlies, they could help pass to Jackson Jr. or other shooting options out on the wing, or maybe hit Ja Morant on the drive or others on the drive. It just adds another wrinkle to the offense that really allows for it to remain consistent and also expand its ceiling. Well, there really was nobody in this draft class who stood out as, you know, having that type of production. However, there is the advanced metrics that we talk about from time to time on here, and there was a player in this draft class who seemed to match Clark's production in those college games when it came to his rebounding ability and his assist ability in terms of front court players. And it's a familiar name that I've already profiled and that I mentioned in the first segment. It's Xavier Tillman. Now, Tillman is someone that he is the number one prospect who seems to check as many boxes as possible for the Grizzlies, except what likely is the main one, projectable shooting ability. He just doesn't seem to have a lot of that potential out there. However, that's something that Clark also didn't have statistically. Now, Clark had a lot more projectability in terms of being, you know, significantly more athletic, but Tillman could eventually turn into a catch-and-shoot shooter. However, that should not take away from the value that he can add from the defensive perspective, from the rebounding perspective, and from being arguably the best passing big man in this draft, and that's something that the Grizzlies certainly value. They certainly need additional secondary playmaking outside of their highly efficient guards, but he is efficient with his passing, his Tillman. He also is very good at finding the open man, and his assist rate showed that he can consistently do it. It's not as if he just finds one or two lucky passes a game. He legitimately can be a central focus point of moving the ball and just be a person that you could really work offensive schemes off of because of his passing ability. So Xavier Tillman certainly stands out in terms of someone that could really add value outside of scoring, that can consistently add value on both ends of the court, which certainly is something the Grizzlies value, especially, you know, from potential reserves. When it comes to John Concher and De'Anthony Melton, both of them showed impressive rebounding abilities for a guard. And that's, again, something that the Grizzlies highly valued, because if you saw Taylor Jenkins' lineup preferences last year, his goal was to play small. He showed that when it came to the lack of size that the Grizzlies had on their roster to start the season, and also how well they were in transition. Well, if you're going to go with smaller lineups and you're going to go with, you know, transition, you know, as being a focal point, you're likely going to have guards who can help rebound so you don't have too much of a liability in that spot. Well, De'Anthony Melton and John Concher are both guards who really stood out in college, and you could also see from their rebounding rates when they played in the NBA, they added value as guards, especially on long rebounds, and that's something that the Grizzlies really seem to highly value. They highly value guards who can not only play defense, but also can rebound and pass, and just, again, have multiple ways of adding value. Well, this season, the player who had similar collegiate statistics to both Melton and Concher was Desmond Bane. Now, I won't spend too much time on Bane, and the reason why is because if Bane is there at number 40, he may arguably shoot up to the top of the list. I've given a few, you know, closer to the draft, I'll give my players who I really prefer at 40 for the Grizzlies, but if Desmond Bane is there at 40, it's hard to pass on him. There's so many good things that he provides. Unfortunately, the thing is that he's likely one of the options that's going to be there. I mean, he's even getting into the top 20 when it comes to potentially, you know, to where he'll potentially be picked. But the reason why that is because not only is he up there as one of the best shooters in this draft, he's also one of the best offensive contributors from his ability to pass, from his ability to rebound, so on and so forth. So Desmond Bane really stands out as that type of option. So when it comes to these players who could really add value outside of scoring, I think Tillman is the name that really emerges. Now, I know that Killian Tilly is another big that I had already mentioned that I would prefer, and I do prefer him because of his shooting ability, but I also think there's a very good chance that Tilly winds up being drafted before the 40th pick. I think that you could do a lot worse than Xavier Tillman. I think that Tillman probably is a good fallback option. If the Grizzlies maybe have like 3 to 5 options that they like the upside in that just is good value at number 40, but all those options are gone, I think Tillman is who makes sense. It's kind of a safe pick, kind of that pick that you, when you look at it, you really, really look at him and say, okay, this makes sense. The one thing, though, that I will say, may prevent him from making too much sense for the Grizzlies is also the presence of Jontay Porter, a player who in his lone season in college actually compared highly favorably to across the board production that Clark offered. Porter also offered that type of production. So Tillman, especially with the Grizzlies, how set they seem to be in the near future in the front court, he may not make that much sense, but I'm just telling you, if the Grizzlies were to see some of these front court talents eventually go on, Tillman is a nice third piece. If Porter, for some reason, doesn't work out, if Valanciunas and Dang are not long for Memphis, Tillman could project as a really nice complementary third piece to both Clark and Jackson Jr., and that's why in terms of his across-the-board production, I think Tillman stands out as a potentially good pick for the Grizzlies at number 40. But speaking of that, offensive value is great, but what about defensive value? We always seem to focus on the things like shooting, and when it comes to upside, what can these players offer as scorers, offensive contributors, you know, even outside of scoring. But what about defensive value, and especially with the defensive focus that the Grizzlies have had in recent draft, what prospects stand out as potentially being defensive difference makers? Coming up, I'm going to look at that, and there's going to be, while there will be some common names, there's also going to be some new and intriguing names that really could stand out for Memphis at this year's draft. So we've talked about adding value outside of scoring. We've also talked about scoring efficiency, and we've identified a few names that make some sense. Killian Tilly, Xavier Tillman, Desmond Bain. Those names are definitely names that you consistently see being on the Grizzlies targets in mock drafts. But a lot of it is due to their offensive potential. Well, what about when it comes to defensive potential? And this brings to light a name that really is the focus of the Grizzlies offseason, probably the biggest source of news for the Grizzlies when it comes to what their roster is going to look like going forward, and that's the name of De'Anthony Melton. Of course, it's his restricted free agency. Last week, I discussed, you know, kind of how I felt about his free agency, how I would love to keep him, obviously, at the right price. However, if he becomes too overpriced, maybe trade him away in a sign and trade, you know, what have you. The big thing, though, about De'Anthony Melton is that I think that he's underrated. I think that he does not get the credit that he deserves as being, at the very least, one of the best perimeter defensive playmakers in the league. And that's something that obviously adds value. Now, with Melton, the question is, how much of a long-term shooting projection, or, you know, how good of a shooter do you think he is long-term? But the thing about it is, Melton offers enough value, especially defensively, to still remain on the court for good stretches of time due to the value that he adds. And so that's the thing about Melton, is that when it comes to his defensive game, yes, he's a decent on-the-ball defender. Yes, he's good off the ball, but it's just his anticipation for the ability for him to create fast break opportunities in so many ways. Help defense through being able to block as a guard. Obviously, his ability to create steals, his ability to get rebounds, all those things lead to fast break opportunity for the Grizzlies, and that's something that they definitely want to build off of as they continue to grow. The Grizzlies may never be just one of the top five teams in the league with this core when it comes to half-court defense. But if they could be one of the more opportunistic defenses in terms of turning and creating turnovers and highly, you know, and effectively converting extra possessions, I think that that's how they really could have their defense best complement their offense. Now, of course, it wasn't just Melton. You know, Clark and Contra also added defensive value as well, especially in college. You know, since 2009, Brandon Clark is one of only 29 front court players with a block percentage of 8.8% and a steal percentage of 2%. So as a big man, he both offered the chance as a rim protector, but also showed the ability to, you know, alter passes and shots, and also to make a couple of interceptions to lead to high percentage scoring opportunities for his team. When we look at this year's draft class, maybe not anybody who was up to that level, but some players who showed value through both blocks and steals and the ability to create both consistently were, again, familiar name in Xavier Tillman, but also a highly intriguing big man in Paul Reed. Now, Paul Reed, more of a traditional big man, he also will be a future player that we talk about in a prospect profile, but the thing that does stand out about him is his defensive ability, is truly being a defensive difference maker, both through blocks, through good team defense, and the ability to create steals. He's the type of guy that you could really see the Grizzlies focus on as being, adding a developmental big, especially if they were to trade in late into the second round, and want to gain another developmental pick, to add to Porter in terms of their depth of options in case some of the veterans, were to eventually find other places to play. So Paul Reed definitely is another option that could make sense. Maybe not so much at 40 like Tillman, but later on in the draft if it makes sense for the Grizzlies to add another developmental piece. Now, beyond the big men, obviously, as I mentioned with Melton, Conchar is there as well. Perimeter defense is really the key for the Grizzlies. They've got to find good, consistent perimeter defense. They've already got intriguing post defense with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark, and to an extent, Jonas Valanciunas in terms of protecting the rim. But in terms of perimeter defense, the Grizzlies don't have a ton of, overall talent when it comes to just shutdown defense. But they do have good ability to create turnovers, especially through Melton and also John Conchar as well. John Conchar was right there with Melton in terms of his ability to create turnovers on a consistent basis. So what names really stood out as guys that could both provide steals and blocks, especially on the perimeter? Well, that would be Robert Woodard from Mississippi State, and a name that I mentioned that I really like, Tyler Bay from Colorado. Now, like Desmond Bane, and to an extent maybe Killian Tilly, these are names that probably are much more likely to be taken in the late first round than they are to fall to number 40, and that's fine. Those names, there's a reason why we identify these names in these groups and also show that we like them, because they're projected to likely go higher than where the Grizzlies pick is. But the thing about it is that if one of those guys fall, their defensive value that they can offer, that makes them a safer pick. It makes them good value as well. It means that while their offensive games, and in the case of Woodard and Bay, their offensive games are still a work in progress, but if their defense can be there, if they can add value immediately on defense, that adds so much more to them being able to stick to the NBA and to have decent floors to where they can be rotation players, because whatever they develop on offense, they're not going to gate from it on defense. They're actually going to add to it through their defense, which is highly encouraging. So those are two names who, especially if they fall, because of their defensive potential, you really could see the Grizzlies be like, hey, this is someone that can check boxes, and again, in multiple ways on both ends of the court, adds value. So that's how we kind of look at things when it comes to how the Grizzlies' current roster, how the profiles and the production makeups of their current players, how that could help identify some names that really make sense. Just kind of retracing, the names that stood out were Killian Tilly, Xavier Tillman, Desmond Bane, Paul Reed, Tyler Bay, and Robert Woodward. Now, again, several of those names are likely going to be picked before Memphis's 40th pick, and that's fine. That just shows why they make sense as good value picks. But the important reason also to know this is because this also shows how the Grizzlies will continue to build their team. This shows the specific characteristics of prospects that the Grizzlies value. So when it comes to, potentially a lottery pick next year, or if it comes to the Grizzlies potentially trading into the very end of the second round, or two-way players, from the player pools that are available, these characteristics are things to focus on when hoping to identify targets that may make sense for the Grizzlies. It's been fun. This, any time that I get to talk about this draft and identify a potential target for the Grizzlies, it absolutely is fun. I always enjoy covering content that I also am learning from as I continue to grow as someone who loves talking about the NBA and as an analyst. It's just fun every time I get to talk about these prospects, and I hope you're having fun too. Don't forget, you can find the show at Locked On Grizzlies, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever it's available, Stitcher, Spotify, iPhone, the podcast app on your phone. Again, next week, exciting interviews, more draft prospect profiles. We'll break down any news as we head towards the start of the NBA season. It's ramping right back up. The bubble was excellent, but the start to a season that hopefully will be as much like normal as possible sounds even more intriguing. So we will get you covered day by day leading up to the start of the next season. Thanks so much for joining us today. My name is Sean Coleman. Again, whenever you have the time, go back and listen to plenty of our other episodes. Plenty of prospects have been profiled. Listen to my interview with Ben Pfeiffer. Also listen to make sure to listen to some of the prospects' pros and cons and really learn where the Grizzlies might go with that 40th pick. It's been a pleasure. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.